जयो सुभद्रा जयो सुभद्रा जयो Jai Radhe Jai Radhe Prabhupada Prabhupada
Jai Jai Guru Dev. Jai
Jai Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnu Pada Paramhansa Parivrajakacharya Astotara Sata Sri Srimad Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Thakur Ki Jai Ananti Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sikaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nithananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Sham Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Sri Navadvip Dham Ki Jai Sri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai Gita Nagari Ki Jai Ganga Mayi Ki Jai Yamuna Mayi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Tulasi Devi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai His Holiness Srila Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj Ki Jai Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj Ki Jai Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj Ki Jai Go Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga.
We are so blessed. We have Vishvambar Maharaj, Vaishnava, His Holiness Vaishnava Swami. His Holiness Radhanath Swami, and we have their wonderful, the most magnificent divine couple manifested in so many ways. So this is my last reading today. It's the last. Somehow Krishna has let us come to the point to finish. The very last reading of the Beggar Meditations. So is this symbolic or is it perhaps conclusive? I see this as more than likely my last class in terms of while in this body. Preaching never stops. It is eternal because the soul is Satchidananda Vigraha. And it is always finding ways, wherever it may find itself, ways to speak about its connection with the Supreme Lord. In our present state, Mame Vamso Jivaloke, Jiva Bhutashanatana, Vanashastani Indriani Prakrasti Sani Karshati. We are those parts and parcels, unfortunately, that's in a suffering condition. But we know that that's not our original nature. And we know we're bigger than that. And once we allow all of these coverings to fall apart, fall to the side, then we realize how grand and how loving and how intelligent and how eternal and yes, how blissful that we all are. But we don't have to wait until we leave these bodies to realize how blissful that we are. There's a rumor that I'm leaving the body this afternoon. I can tell you it's false because I've already left. I'm already gone and I'm just waiting for a few things to integrate or to catch up. So whether I do leave before this presentation or during this presentation, whether I leave some short time afterwards, it's okay. Because as we were discussing, we leave, we separate temporarily to connect together eternally. So the beggar I'm going to read is a short one. And it's only about a page and a fourth of a paragraph. It was the very first one that I wrote when I first came down with the illness. This beggar says, I died on August the 5th of this year. And so that's when I found out or was informed that I was diagnosed with a terminal illness. So it was when I began this interesting drama, journey, soap opera of watching this body try to save itself, when ultimately how it tried to save itself is temporary, because the end result is that it's got to go at some point anyway. Also watching and waiting to see if my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, was going to call me in now, call me in a little later, or call me in much later. So I am at his call, and he has already called for me. And for some reason, he's letting me linger for a few more days. I don't know why, but I am just counting the days, the hours, and the days, and being just that much more full of gratitude. I thought, yet more than likely somebody was going to have to read this, and that I would be gone. That's why I tried to read the other beggars first. And this was so simple, it practically had almost nothing to say. But what I want to conclude on today is to help you and to help me and to help each of us to be able to help each other. So I want to share basically some selective pastimes of how many great saints, great acharyas, how they left this world. It's a way to help me to focus in leaving. It's a way to prepare you to accept another member of the family leaving. It's another way to remind us that even Krishna comes and goes. And it is all glorious. It is more glorious in many ways than the entrance. Because the entrance means so much work to do in these hellish bodies and on this hellish planet. And departure means, an assignment finished. And maybe the assignments are finished for being in material bodies. And maybe the ongoing assignments are there in our original spiritual bodies. So actually, when I or anyone else leaves, or when we all leave, we can just have amazing sense of victory in our consciousness. Some sadness, because in all these pastimes I'm going to share, there was some sadness in the departure. And in most ways, it was miraculous. I was telling devotees the other day, it's amazing, out of all of these things I've shared, tried to do and tried to be, and it looks like I'm going to die a sense gratifier. For the last few days, I just broke all protocol, and I just ate pizza. And I ate pizza. And then for dessert, I had pizza. And then after it digested a little bit, the next day, I just had barbecue curd and macaroni. I had all kinds of interesting things. And then this morning, sometime before getting back up and coming over, what did I do? I had a burger. Mahaprasad ki. I said, what's going to happen? I can die with a whole mouthful and a face full of prasadam in my face. The worst can happen is I can choke to death off enjoying the prasadam. Or my body can break down in jubilation that it's not being starved and it's being overdosed by the nectar of prasadam. So everything that is there to keep this body going is finished. And now we're trying to share something as a way of offering our last breaths on the battlefield. Because all these programs are recorded for TV, radio, and for translation, availability for people from all backgrounds. First, I'll just take a half a minute and just reflect on how acharyas and other great systems, how they left. We see how Jesus left so young. How old was he?
33.
Only 33 years of age. Younger than most of us. Is there a small pillow I can put under here? Give me your charter. And then we have Muhammad, who left. Of course, there was a poison attempt, and his body gradually deteriorated, and he left an assembly of well-wishers. Buddha, in the state of samadhi and nirvana, he focused himself, and he left. They all went to different, seemingly different destinations. Actually, Then Zoroaster, he was stabbed to death so many times, people trying to share a message of higher consciousness. And they attack the environment, they attack Maya. I think we're okay now. And so Maya finds some ways to try to eliminate, slow down, procrastinate, eradicate their offerings. And then we have Socrates, who was also preaching something of liberation, of moksha. He was considered contaminating the youth, and he was poisoned. To drink poison. So, a rough overview of some personalities who offered something special, and they left under unusual considerations. It shows that one doesn't leave just while going to sleep and they don't wake up. We see recently the Pope left, quite aged, several diseases. We see ultimately urinary problems, infection, heart stops. But what we really mean is that the soul had its time, its residence. It was now invited out And it had to go. Mari Krishna, Radhike, Radhike Krishna, Marike. When Krishna wants to save, nobody can protect. And when Krishna wants to protect, nobody can save. So how long we may want to stay in, if it's time to go, we have to go. And how much we may be trying to go, if it ain't time, we have to stay longer. We know how our Srila Prabhupada left. He showed us in very excruciating ways how to meet death. Especially the last 6 months, how his body just broke down. No sleeping, no eating, what to say of mating and defending. And how very gloriously he had so many wonderful disciples around. He left, of course, in Vrindavan, in his actual home. And even though it seemed that at first he was going to stay, because he told us it was up to, Krishna was leaving it up to him, it seemed he was going to stay. But when it comes to leaving, there's higher callings. And it is ultimately up to Damodar, who plays the flute and who loves to find ways to enhance everyone's understanding that he is the greatest lover and his love is topmost and his love controls. As we think of Krishna as the supreme controller, everything resting upon him, Mata Paratananyat Kinshtira Sridhananjaya. We can think he is controlling because he is the possessor of the greatest love. And therefore he has the greatest weaponry. He has the greatest power of influence. He has the greatest strength and all the other wonderful opulences. Krishna is too, Bhagavan Swayam. And then we look at Mahaprabhu. We are so much seeds of what has been started and put into motion by none other than the Lord Himself. He came, He snuck in here as in the bhava of Srimati Radharani, acting as like a devotee. And we see how He left. And so the acharyas say He left how? He merged into Jagannath, He merged into Choti Gopinath. Just as He advanced in front of the Ratiyat carts, He could have seemed to appear in many carts at the same time. This is when the same Lord eats with the Gopals. Each Gopal, each group is thinking He's with them alone. Just as when He's with the Rasa dance, yeah, every Gopi is thinking He's with them alone. So how is it difficult for this wonderful Lord to leave just as He came, just as He existed, in most unusual ways? And then we are so much product of Lord Nityananda's mercy. So did He stay forever? We see He merged into Bankim Rai. So many amazing pastimes of devotees leaving and merging to the deities. Same thing happened with Advaita. He went to the deity room and connected and merged with Radha Modan Gopal. In the case of Janava Devi Dasi, she didn't not only merge the Maharaj, but the deity Gopinath, he jumped off the altar and he grabbed her and he pulled his beloved onto the altar. And when they closed the altar, she was gone. What a wonderful way to go, huh? You'll be here in Artik coming for Darshan. and Kalachandri, Gopinath, Damodar, whoever your wonderful Ishtadev, Radhavan Chandra, they jump right off the altar and they say, "My beloved is all for me, and I am all for her, for him, and we are all really one." And they take us back to engage in our eternal pastimes. Ram and Sita, a most amazing story. And we discuss how this is a very difficult story to understand. Once we understand Ram acting as the perfect ruler, ready to sacrifice everything for duty, sacrificing himself, sacrificing Sita for others' concerns and well-being, minimize speculation, is really him sacrificing himself. And so Sita, being so pure and undergoing so much as part of pastime, that she can never be separated from Lord Ram. And she emerges in a wonderful, gorgeous throne, and Mother Bhumi just takes her away. Unbelievable how some of these, all of these great souls, they left. And Lord Ram, personification of death, came for him. I want to read the quote from death. "When they were all alone, an ascetic appeared." This ascetic was in disguise, was a personification of death. He said to Lord Ram, quote, "O Lord, you should know that I am death. Rama has asked me to come here and inform you that the time allotted for your earthly pastimes is now drawing to a close. You have achieved all that you desire to achieve. Now, if it so pleases you, you may return to your own eternal abode." See, when the Lord leaves, he goes through these amazing dramas. He has the personification of death to come and seemingly to remind him that your work now, your pastimes, your loving pastimes, they're over. And now, as you move on to other universes with other pastimes, and at the same time as you remain eternally in Vrindavan, that your devotees will be graced as they constantly think of how you come and go. And they will be able to be fully liberated for Mahaseva, eternal service, by being able to understand your coming and going. It's like when Madhavacharya left, he gave some clue and he explained how when the great souls of the Lord, great servants, when they leave, when their work is finished, and sometimes when their eternal nature has been revealed, and then there's no longer anything left for them to do, any reason for them to continue in the form that they used, because they have completed their love offering to the world. Their coming was recognizing this Matunyagara, these hellish places of Bhumiapo, Nala, Vaya, Kamana, Bhude, Bacha, Ankara, Bhima, Bhina, Kriti, Ashnaha. Recognizing how difficult it is to get out of here. Devi, almost impossible. Almost. But we get out by being escorted by a gopi or a gopa, a gopa. So we're in the line of the perfect ambassadors who have the power of attorney to escort the living entity all the way back. Sometimes we are a little nosy, like in my case, perhaps. And as we're going back, we get a chance to visit and tour so many little places, temporarily, hopefully. And then we go back. And sometimes we were supposed to go back, and we got overly enamored. And sometimes, like some even amongst our own ISKCON fellowship, they are pure entities of a certain caliber. But they came into this world on a mission. Yes, and somehow, in carrying out that mission, they became a little too connected with the environment of the material world and took on temporary some of the qualities, seemingly of contamination. Qualities of stagnation, yes, but not contamination like a conditioned soul. There are so many different levels of purity, and it'll take us lifetimes, and in most of our cases, only until we're about to or leave our bodies, but we understand that purity is not quite what we normally think. It basically has to do with how much we are puppet for the Lord. And so someone can be pure of different qualities. Just as in the spiritual world, there's different levels of service, even though there is topmost purity, according to how much the Lord is connecting with, is using, how much that entity is a part of the Lord's eternal pastimes. Is my time up? Are they calling for me now? I don't see the chariots yet. I'm not going to go on a donkey. I don't mind our oxen, but they haven't been trained recently. And I don't want to go on an oxen either. I love peacocks, but they ain't big enough. Even though I've lost all this weight. So I'm not deserving like any of these great souls. But I lived in style and I want to die in style. Don't think different servants of the Lord are not entitled to different distinct personalities. You look at our acharyas, and you look at how they're leaving, and you see such distinct personalities. What about our Haridas? Haridas, he was very intelligent. Remember? He refused to leave after the Lord. He could not bear it. And so he wanted to go before Mahaprabhu. We see how these great souls left. And there's so many wonderful. I was listening to Ranaf Mara speaking on one of his parikrams and talking about Narottam Das. This reminds us of this excruciating story, Srinivas and Narottam Das, how one leaving after another and the tremendous way that they were overwhelmed. And so what we're experiencing as we leave, this is natural. It's Vaishnava history. So in the case of Haridas, he literally requested and demanded and arranged for the Lord to be in front of him. So with his two eyes like bumblebees, and the Lord like a lotus flower, he could just be focused and totally captivated and rapt attention on the Lord. He took the Lord's foot. He put it on his chest, on his heart. And he held the Lord's leg. He held his foot to his heart. And he just cried out, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Sri Krishna Chaitanya. As he left the world, surrounded around the great servants of the Lord and the Lord Himself. Hey, can you think of a better way to go? Haribo. I steal Maharaj's phrase. Haribo. So, as we think about this, I mean, we can think about, hey, one of these ways, or some of these ways, or in some way, we're going to go. And let's pray that it's of such a glorious call. And even if it's not glorious according to what people may think, we may be nailed to a cross like Jesus, who later died in 3 hours, who is also a pure devotee of the Lord, who is connected with Lord Narayan. He is connected with Vaikuntha. Bhaktivinoda explains this to us in some of his exchanges. So he knew so much more than even what he gave. And so did Muhammad. And Muhammad made it clear. Allah made it clear who is Krishna to Muhammad. There are 3 divisions of knowledge. Some knowledge you can share with the people. Some knowledge you can decide whether to give or not. And some knowledge is not to be shared in your commission. And so everything ultimately, it comes to the same Lord, same Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is manifesting Himself in different ways, giving His love, receiving His love. Madhavendra Puri, let me just read a passage from Anti Lila. While passing away from the material world, he chanted the following verse. O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I now do? And of course, then he gracefully left this planet. Madhavacharya, he preempts us. Actually, I explained already how he revealed. So to save time, I'll just mention Narottam. Sri Ramananda Ramachandra Kaviraj and Srinivas Acharya. First, Sri Ramananda Chandra Kaviraj left. And then Srinivas left. And then all these great souls, how much love they had for each other. How much they were connected. So Narottam, he had no desire to stay. So he gathered up this tremendous Sankirtan party and he marched to the Ganga. And he sung and he cried and he was in great ecstasy and Mahabhav. And he went into the Ganga, knee deep. And he asked the 2 devotees, special servants, assistants, to massage him. And as they massaged his body melted like milk into the Ganga and was never to be seen. We are not connected with ordinary personalities who come into this world in an ordinary way or who leave in an ordinary way. But they surely leave. And when they leave, it's a sign that their mission has come to a closure. When Prabhupada left, it was a distinct sign that everything that needed to be said, everything that needed to be arranged for, ultimately, for all of our going back to Godhead, had been done. Now, it was up to us to catch up, prepare to join him. Let me mention just maybe two or three more. It's getting a little late. Ramanujacharya, let me read how he prayed. Dear God, whatever I can do, this is Ramanuja speaking, to preserve the essence of the Vedas, to uplift the fallen souls, to establish the shelter of your lotus feet as a supreme goal in life, I have done. I have done. Now my body has grown tired after many years in this world. Look at their Nara aspect, Nara Leela. Kindly allow me to depart from this mortal world. And the humility and the connection. Kindly allow me to depart, enter into your supreme abode. His last instruction I want to share with all of us, because this is a good instruction for us all, not only here, to remember and to allow it to be embedded in our hearts. He says, to always remain in the company of the devotees and serve those souls who are fully dedicated to Godhead. Just as you would serve your own spiritual preceptor. You serve all the devotees the same way you would serve your spiritual masters. Have faith in the teachings of the Vedas and the words of the great saints. Never, and I put emphasis, never become the slave of your senses. I underline, always strive to conquer the three great enemies of self-realization, lust, anger, and greed. Worship Narayan and take pleasure in uttering the holy names of God as your only refuge. Sincerely serve the devotees of Godhead. By service to the great devotees, the highest service is done, and one quickly gains the supreme mercy. Remembering these things, you should live happy in this world for the attainment of the next. Then he meditated on Govinda, and he departed. So there's a wonderful pastime, which I'll skip over, the head of Sanatana Goswami, Bhaktivinoda Kaur. He, in his last year or so, I don't know how much, he faked paralysis just so he could be fixing his Nirjan Bhajan. And then, in very raptured meditation, he went back to associate in the eternal abode of the Lord as a special assistant connected with the gopis. When Bhakti Siddhanta left, there's a wonderful quote. Let's see if I can find it. Bhakti Siddhanta, the moments before he left, literally moments, seconds, while lying on his bed, and being served by different devotees taking shifts, he called out in his last words, "Who is there? Sri Pranavananda." He was with him. He said, "It's me, Pranavananda Prabhu." Srila Prabhupada said, Bhaktisiddhanta, "Oh, Pranabananda Prabhu. I'm sorry. Then Sri Pranabananda asked Bodhisiddhanta, how are you feeling? Srila Bodhisiddhanta said, what can I say? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Then there was this tumultuous sound of crying. Because after he left out, as soon as the next devotee came in, he saw that what they had regretted had come to be. He ran out and told Pranabananda first and others that Guru Dev has departed. And we have Prithu Maharaj, who died like a yogi, closed up all the ears. Rishab Dev, who, the last quote I'll read, then I'll stop here. Of course, in Bodhisiddhanta's case, they carried him, rented trains, and so many disciples well wishes boarded the trains. As they would go from city to city, town to town, taking him to his residence to put the body in samadhi. They had pictures of him out of the window. People were offering puja at every stop. Thousands and thousands of devotees were having last darshan of the train that had his body in it. So now what I'd like to do is to read the one page meditation, and then I probably have to fag into my energy. And let's see if I will be allowed to still be here. I think so. More than 50% chance. Maybe a few more days. Let me ask a question. How many of you have had very unfortunate experiences and have asked, hey, why me? Raise your hand. Exactly all of us. How many have had wonderful experiences and have thought, this should have happened to somebody else? Somebody else deserved this. Every now and then we think that way also, right? Especially as Vaishnavas. How many of you give away things that you really like the most and most dear to you? Most people, the things they give away, the things that they don't use anymore, they don't want, or something that they feel they can sacrifice. So this meditation basically talks about why, as things come upon us, even calamities, as Vaishnavas, we don't think why it didn't happen to somebody else. We don't wish it on someone else. We don't allow ourselves to think that Krishna made some kind of mistake. I had to deal with this initial phase of the cancer. Am I going to think, why is this happening to me? Because by thinking like that, I'm thinking, these things happen. Because now, the global statistics is 1/3 out of every person on the planet will come down with cancer. It's unbelievable. And practically 1/3 of all women in America in the next few years will come down with cancer. So that means 200 or 300 devotees who are here, that based on the way the modern patterns are developing, 1/3 of us will connect with cancer. And even greater than that, in the next 10, 20 years, is going to be depression. And the number one sufferers that people undergo. They'll be depressed because they got cancer. They'll be depressed because of heart attacks and other serious diseases like AIDS. They'll have those, they'll become depressed. They won't have those and they'll become depressed. This is especially where we come in. Because depression has so much more to do with what is going on with the mental culture. And we have so much to do to help people to conquer over the enemies of the mind and to free the mind as it's engaged in this Sankalpa and Vikalpa. To be able to do like Haridas and to focus the consciousness on the lotus feet of the Lord and Guru, even while in the body, what to say when having to leave the body, so that we're absorbed in their love and their protection. So I end with this meditation of one page. And I thank you all so much for allowing me to share this last reflection, where I can particularly reflect myself on these past times of how great souls left. To remind us that we're all on a mission and we're temporarily here. To remind each of us that we're going to have to go. So each of us can visualize and make it happen how we can leave in an auspicious way. Because we are marked. Just as we were marked and how we came into this world and what family we're going to live in, what race we're going to be in, and how we're going to meet up with agents of Krishna. We're also, each of us is marked, just as your relatives who already left, and friends who've already left, and other devotees who've already left. No accidents. Each of us are already marked how we're going to leave. So some people may be wondering, maybe Maharaj is going to have some spontaneous remission and healing. Maybe he's going to stay around for a few more months. Or maybe his time is already over and it's just a part of the unfolding of the pastime of service. But we have to go. So on August 5th, 2004, I truly began the process of ending my existence on this planet, in this body. During that week, it was discovered. Let's see if I can see better my focus. It was discovered that I have sugar diabetes and advanced melanoma, which is a cancer of its own. Prior to that, I knew of some other small health problems. Basically, I had been blessed with a rather healthy body. But they were insignificant in contrast to the new ones that had now developed. The old health problems should have in themselves been a significant reminder that healthy, unhealthy, big problems, little problems, they're all signs that we're going to be checking out. Just having a material body is itself a disease, because the body incarnates the soul and limits the soul. The body incarcerates, that is, the soul. And it limits the soul from its most blissful, fulfilling activities. Every day, literally every day, people must confront the shocking news that they or someone near to them has become possessed by a life-threatening disease. When people have this encounter, normally they feel cheated, angry, and bewildered. Just as, who was it, Rukma felt cheated, angered, and bewildered. In the play, Krishna was asked not to kill him, but he got like his own death. But however, things come upon us outside of our control, we get angry, bewildered, if we're not being properly Krishna conscious. Every day, people must get confronted with such. They would like to accept that these kind of disasters, that they happen to others and not to individuals like themselves. We forget that practically everyone that meets up with such a destiny or karma is thinking the same way. Why has this happened to me instead of someone else? Just as we all, most of you had that reflection sometimes. If each person had their wish, then these, just listen close to this, then these misfortunes would be experienced by others and never by themselves. If this could happen, then the person who feels cheated would be eager to project the cheating or misfortune on others. It means that such people will be very concerned about not being cheated themselves while being eager to cheat others. So that means if someone is not a proper Vaishnava, then they're thinking, how and why did this happen to me? And therefore what they're really saying, it's okay if it happens to someone else, but not me. Let it happen to someone else, but not me. It was supposed to happen to someone else, but somehow, how has it come about happened to me? And therefore, we embrace what has happened, then it means we're not trying to project anything kind of calamity, misfortune on others. We're trying to constantly give our love, share our love, think lovingly, and even be ready to take on difficulties that others would have to experience if we can take it on ourselves. So this is why, again, I can be very happy with my closure and knowing that what I've experienced is not all my karma. Maybe 99% of it is. Maybe 99.9% of it is my karma. But no, I do not think so, and I'm not trying to be arrogant, or am I trying to be humble. But I think most of what I'm going through has been due to my small attempt in trying to project love and trying to reach out to minimize some suffering of others, and also to avoid this kind of mentality, why me? And to think, why others? Why that person? And why not me? Why could I not have been the one to undergo this while the other person who is more deserving was able to be freed from that difficulty? So let me end now with these last three paragraphs. People normally feel some happiness even if others are suffering, as long as they are not personally experiencing any difficulties. Normally. How wonderful it would be if we could think of ourselves as fortunate to have been chosen to have a fantastic experience for our growth, and also to have an experience that would relieve another from having to undergo that same difficult challenge. This, of course, is the mood of the high-class devotee of Vipara Dukkha Dukkhi. A devotee feels the miseries of others and enjoys their happiness with them. Okay. The feelings of anger and bewilderment are due to not understanding that the Supreme Lord's mercy comes in so many different ways. It is very easy to accept when God's mercy, when it comes and we get it the way that we expect. This is like mercy. It's like three categories. It's like mercy coming from the front. However, when it comes from the side, that means it's a little bewildering, not expected, maybe not what we want fully. It can be bewildering. And when it comes from behind, it can be extremely disturbing, because the conditioned jiva loves to feel that he or she is in control. So when it comes from behind, it's the Lord intervening, pushing us, arranging something to help us, but we're being put in a position where we're totally out of control. This, of course, is a big illusion. When it comes from behind, it can be extremely disturbing because the conditioned soul loves to feel that he or she is in control. This, of course, is a big illusion, for we're always at the mercy of the Lord. However, we normally think that we are much more in control than what we are. Actually, the Lord's mercy coming from behind, as in the case of seemingly disasters, sickness and accidents, is in one sense even more an expression of the Lord's mercy. Because in such instance, what happens? The Lord helps the jiva even more to accept and perceive the eternal identity as a wonderful dependent servant. The most wonderful chance to be the servant of the servant, or to remind ourselves how we are eternal servants of the Lord. We must remind ourselves that the Lord is always finding various ways to send out his love from the front, from the side, and from the back. That's confirmation from the peacocks. As we remind ourselves of this, it becomes easier to take advantage. And I read my last paragraph. It becomes easy to take advantage of the many opportunities that manifest. Keep in mind, mercy from the front, mercy from the side, and mercy from the back. Life is full of many adventures, as well as opportunities to serve humanity and to glorify the Lord. This is what life is about. When a person can accept everything as an expression of Krishna's mercy and love, nothing can be too disturbing for such an individual. Every moment becomes another opportunity to serve humanity, to worship the Supreme, and to express gratitude. And then I end. That day, on August 5th, was really a rebirth, for it actually gave me a chance to die to live. I, the beggar, am full of gratitude for receiving the Lord's mercy from the front, from the side, and yes, most wonderfully, from the back. I, that beggar, am most full of gratitude and appreciation for receiving the Lord's mercy from the front, from the side, and from the back. So I want to conclude with asking you to all to bless me, to release me, to allow me to be forgiven for any incoherences, offenses, any harsh ways of how I try to serve the mission of Prabhupada, because I serve with a lot of passion. I serve with a lot of imposing sometimes. But hopefully it was, again, 99% out of love and not out of ego. And even if it was out of ego, prayerfully, what the Lord has taken me through during these almost 9 months has been a way to sever any last tinges of false ego that interferes with my ability to be radiant with love, to impose in your hearts, to affect your mind, and to uplift you, to be a greater carrier of love, to be empowered. Because when we feel we're loved, we become so much more able
to rise above any of our challenges and we do not feel loved, it becomes harder because we do not feel protected, backed up, nor do we feel that what we're undergoing is actually worth it. So I feel that all this that I'm undergoing, that it was so worth it. If I had to do it over again, I'd be glad to do it over again. Because the quality of your love was more than the quality of my existence. And the quality of what Prabhupada has given me is over what I could have ever achieved if I lived on the planet for 30 more years. Thank you, Radha Damodar, for allowing me to come to be their servant and to be able to give up the body under their jurisdiction. I thank Radha Kalachandri, Jagannath, Radha Gopinath, and all of their caretakers for allowing bhakti to go on through how they serve the deities. Prabhupada was so much concerned we would not whimsically engage in this deity worship. He so mystically, esoterically established these deities and these murtis all over the planet. Prabhupada is sitting there. There's no statue. These are no statues. According to our Adhikar, we experience what they're sharing, what they're constantly trying to extend. So allow my little case to be a present day example that we're not just dealing with history, that we have so many souls around us who we took for granted, who have already gone back to the spiritual world. And we have so many souls amongst us who are building up their spiritual bank accounts and who are destined to go back to the spiritual world. And so many of you who build up your spiritual bank accounts don't think that you don't have great wealth. Don't allow Maya to cause you to not to take full advantage of your advancements. You have deposited and you deposited and you deposited. And you are so wealthy. And part of my little mission was somehow to try also to help souls who were getting weak after struggling for so much, who had come into this world to make this lifetime chance to go back, but who was so borderline it could take many, many lifetimes if they weren't careful. So part of the way I'm dying is to make some impact so some of those souls will be more guaranteed that they'll go back this lifetime. They won't, at critical times, miss amazing opportunity when they've come so close. And Prabhupada has opened up so many doors now, especially doing this Gaura-Purnima. His doors have been opened for the Vaishnava community all around the world. Opportunities have been made available. So we have to be greedy. We have to think somebody can go back to Godhead. Somebody can go back. And Krishna has no favorites. And Krishna can create just as He brought us to Him. Out of so many difficult environmental situations, He brought us all to Him. Out of so many difficult situations, He brought us back, those of us who tried to bloop. Those of us who try to forget Him. Those of us who look for a door to run away. He kept us somehow together. That same Krishna is there. Those same great acharyas We just got finished hearing about. They left in a way to encourage us. They left in a way to show us that even though they had the Nara leaders, they looked like human, they took on human-like existence. Yes, they went to the toilet, they cried. They got sick. They had sometimes economic problems. They had seemingly mental problems. But they were puppets. They were sold out. Why did Prabhupada, Bodhisiddhanta, why did Krishna allow Prabhupada to suffer the way he suffered? Why did they like to have to go through all of that suffering to impact upon us eternally? There was no other way. He had to suffer for us. So now we have to pay him back. We each owe him more than we can ever pay back. But we have to be more compassionate. As we're compassionate, it's one of our major keys for allowing whatever our quality is, for us to be received and accepted far beyond our quality. We don't want mercy. We don't want just Krishna's law. We love his law and we know that he makes no mistakes and he's most kind. But we want his mercy. We want more than our quality. Isn't it? Which of us do not want his mercy? All of you, look at Radha Damodar. Look at the deities there. Look at Srila Prabhupada. And bow your head with pranams. And in your own way, you beg them, we want your mercy. Just have silence for a minute. And then we'll sing the Sringade prayers as we all go. Let you take prasadam. And let me be available for however long the Lord wants me to stay to render any last iota of service. And do not look at the deities as statue. Look at them as the Lord who himself comes and incarnates amongst us. The Lord who himself sends his best, yes, his best, to be amongst us. The Lord himself who sent one of his best, Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta, Kokushovas, Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya, and who took one who seemingly was most unqualified, who was considered to be a reject, like Haridas, and he made him the Namacharya, representing the Yuga Dharma, from the most essential aspects of his mission. So we're not worried about qualified or unqualified. We're not worried about the law. We're not worried about just grace. We are very, very worried about mercy. So thank you for being mercy upon me. And I hope especially my last months, prove my mercy and affection and love for you, that I sacrifice my life for you, that I spared up the little time I had on this planet to be able to do Prabhupada's work faster or whatever I could offer, and especially, as we said, to help those in salvaging their bank accounts. So look at the Lord. Bow your head in pranams. If you can, go down in pranams. We can all try. Let's all go. We want mercy. Please, divine couple, bring your mercy on us. Now you look at Prabhupada. That's Prabhupada in front of you now. That is not statue. That is not a Murti. He has particularly allowed us to establish him like this, so he can directly be more closer to watch us. We can directly dress him, feed him, and come in each day, pray to him, and yes, we can cry to him. So fold your palms, or just go down fully in dandavat. Dear Srila Prabhupada, how much we thank you for allowing ourselves with practically no qualification for you to pick us up, to plant seeds of bhakti into our minds, into our hearts. We will do all this in our means to protect that seed of bhakti. And we will eagerly wait for even more of your mercy, because we know that even though you've given us the mercy, even though you keep giving it to us, unless you give it to us in a more forceful way, we still may be lost. ISKCON found the child that Siddha Prabhupada ki. Jai. Sri Radha Damodara ki. Jai. So someone who can have a mic close to them. Prakshit, if you can pass a mic out. Someone can chant the Sringaday prayers while we leave. Sannyasis. We thank the sannyasis for coming. I beg forgiveness for doing what I always do, for lording over and speaking the whole time. But somehow, I had to rush through this, not knowing the outcome. And I wanted to try to live as long as I can right now off your love for these moments or these days. So I was greedy. But please, stay around and give more classes and give more of your love to your nieces and nephews, and try in your own life to keep reminding yourself of this prayer of mercy, so that you all receive more mercy, so that you can be more distributors of mercy. So somebody do the Shingane prayer. Is this a mic for someone?
Namaste Narasimhaya.
Namaste Narasimhaya.
Namaste Narasimhaya. Prahlada Lada Daine. Prahlada Lada Daine. Hiranyakashipu Vakshaya. Hiranyakashipu Vaksha. Shilatanka Nakalaye.
Shilatanka Nakalaye.
Shila Tanka Nakalaye. Itan Shingha Paratan Shingo. Yato yato yamita to nishingo. Yato yato yamita to nishingo. Bahin shingo ridaye nishingo. Bahin shingo ridaye nishingo. Nara shingo madim sharanam prapade. Nara shingo madim sharanam prapade. Otavakara kamala varena kamaduta shenga. Dalita hiranyakashipu tano bringa. Keshavadrita narahari rupa jaya jagadisha hare. Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Jagadisha. Hare. Jaya Jagadish Hare.
Prabhupada Prandana Hai.